Next, we'll report on a prisoner held in the United States. He's the only remaining detainee in the U.S. who's still classified as an enemy combatant. Ali Al-Mari is a citizen of Qatar who was in graduate school in Illinois when federal authorities arrested him. That was 7 years ago. Now, a court ruling has brought Al-Mari one step closer to a final answer on whether the president can hold him in a military brig forever. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
A court can hardly be any more divided than the Fourth Circuit Appeals Court in Richmond was yesterday. Nine judges issued seven opinions, more than 200 pages of disagreement over whether the president can hold an enemy combatant indefinitely without charges. There were two main questions before the court. First, can the president hold an enemy combatant forever? By 5-4, the court said yes. And second, has the president proven that Ali Al-Mari is an enemy combatant? By a different 5-4 combination of judges, the court said no. Wake Forest law professor Bobby Chesney says the takeaway message is this.
The government prevails on the biggest question, which is whether it, in theory, has the authority to detain Al-Mari militarily. But they're going to have to go back to the district court and present further evidence to prove that Al-Mari is who they claim he is.
The government saw this as a win. A Justice Department spokesman said he was pleased with the decision. Al-Mari's lawyer, Jonathan Hafitz, was not.
Any American citizen should be gravely concerned. Today it's Mr. Al-Mari, but tomorrow it could be you, a member of your family, a friend, who in a time of fear could be swept up by the government and locked away in a Navy brig without the protections of the Bill of Rights.
And that's just a typical overblown rhetoric.
This is David Rifkin, who served in the Justice Department in previous Republican administrations.
The government is going to have enough of a difficult time justifying the detention of some of the enemy combatants pick up on a foreign battlefield. And these guys are worried that they're going to pick up an innocent old lady in New York City.
It's unclear how much evidence the government has to provide to hold someone like Al-Mari. The Bush administration originally argued that Al-Mari was an Al-Qaeda agent. They laid out the claims in a summary of the intelligence against him. Here's law professor Chesney.
The summary included such assertions as that he had received training in the use of poisons, for example, that he'd volunteered for a martyrdom mission, that he was in direct contact with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other senior Al-Qaeda officials and had come to the U.S. to carry out operations. All that's asserted by way of hearsay from a Defense Department official.
Yesterday's ruling says the government has to use more direct evidence. So the parties are going back to the trial court now to argue over the details. This may sound familiar. It's a lot like the Supreme Court's ruling last month, which said Guantanamo detainees are entitled to habeas corpus, the right to challenge their detention in court. Chesney says in both the Guantanamo ruling and yesterday's Al-Mari ruling, judges said very little about what the rules for these habeas corpus hearings should be.
What you have happening is district judges now both in Virginia and then also in D.C. trying to elaborate what exactly habeas corpus procedures should look like. Some would say that this is a job that properly belongs to Congress to legislate it.
And as it happens, today a Senate committee is holding a hearing on just that. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.